Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are going in depth today with Pastor Joel Rova Hegener. He is with Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings, and they, of course, are part of the Hastings Ministerial Association, a wonderful group of pastors that really get together once a month and try to lift Hastings up and make it the best place it can be. Great to see you. Thanks for coming in today.
So glad to be here.
So let's talk about the Hastings Ministerial Association. Are you familiar with something like this? Because you've been here, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, just 2 years at the beginning of this month.
Okay, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, so this is my fifth congregation that I've served as pastor, and my three previous American congregations, all were involved in some form or another with a ministerial association. When I was in Norway for 4 years, I didn't have that because there was only one other really English-speaking congregation in the city. So that pastor and I would occasionally get together, but it wasn't quite the same thing.
So this is fascinating. Tell me about your time in Europe.
We were there for a little bit over 4 years, early summer of 2015 through the end of summer of 2019, and I served the American Lutheran congregation in Oslo.
So were they primarily Americans, or did you have some Norwegians that were coming to your services?
We were probably a quarter to a third Americans, and then people from all over the world. At one point, I tried to count through the different nationalities that I could think of, and I was up to around 40 different countries that we had people from. But they would come to work or to study or to emigrate, and when they showed up, they didn't speak Norwegian, but many of them would speak English to one degree or another, and they wanted to worship. And if they didn't have a church congregation somewhere in the Oslo area in their own language, they would come to the ALC, the American Lutheran Church, and worship. So we were about a quarter to a third American and only about 10 to 15% Lutheran, because we had Catholics to Pentecostals to Baptists to Presbyterians to whatever. So it was a very interesting place to serve.
I bet it was. And how did you end up there?
We applied.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, across it, and we were looking at moving on from our congregation in northern Minnesota. We'd been at Eveleth for 9 years, and both my wife and I are very interested in our Scandinavian roots, and I just saw this on a website, and so we prayed about it and applied, and through that process received the call to move overseas.
So how do you do that? Do you leave all your possessions behind?
Because we didn't know how long we were going to be there. We sold our house, our cars, and probably a third to a half of our stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we put the rest in people's garages and attics and basements. Someone might still have some of our stuff somewhere. And then we took some of it, and we actually moved in suitcases and boxes over there because it was a furnished apartment. And we moved back the same way. And when we landed here in Hastings, we're trying to buy a car and then a second car and try to find a place to live. And I'm still finding things that I need to buy again because, you know, I had it and I'm looking for it, and then I remember, oh no, I sold that or gave it away.
So you have been quite literally all over the world with your faith. How do people in Norway worship differently than people in America? Or is there not a difference?
Well, I think there's a difference. I mean, even in America, we have quite different styles of worship. So Norwegian was traditionally a Lutheran country, and you can truly say that because the Lutheran Church was the state church of Norway, as it was of Sweden and is of Finland and Iceland and Denmark, which made it different because a pastor was then a government employee.
Okay,
and for us Americans, that's quite strange.
Okay, that is strange. Let's dig into that. Is that still the way it is?
In Norway and Sweden, no.
Okay.
But the government is still providing a lot, because if they just pulled out all their support, those churches would fall because no one is used to giving money via offering. It all came through taxes. So people can opt out of church taxes now. But a number of, even if they aren't believers, they continue to have that small percentage of their taxes go to the church because it supports all of the buildings, all of the graveyards, that sort of thing. So there are independent churches in Norway, quite a few of them, that then receive Some of them still receive money via taxes. Our church, the American Lutheran Church, received a certain about a third of our budget from taxes, and then the rest either through renting out space or offering. Because a lot of people in other places, you know, some societies it's all through taxes, others it's through different means. So you had to teach people to give. And frankly, I'm just going to state this, but I am not for any church ever being associated with the government, because it not only, you know, puts certain boundaries upon it, but when people get mad at the government, then they get mad at the church. And I met many Norwegians and Swedes, because we had Swedish relatives that we got to know, who were really upset at the church for things it had done in its past. And then they tied that anger towards God. And so you have a lot of atheists and agnostics in Scandinavia, I think because of that very reason.
Okay, wow. That's very deep.
Yeah. So I'm all for the separation of church and state here in America, because I think it makes our churches in the long run stronger.
Absolutely. Even though it probably makes your job more difficult because you have to be a fundraiser in a certain way.
Yeah, but I mean, as American pastors, we all have to do that. And so that's something you just learn, and mm-hmm. and it's part of our Christian faith to give, isn't it? Give of our time, our talents, our energy, and our money.
Mm-hmm.
As I said to one of my congregations in the past, you know, there's no golden bank in the sky. There isn't any money coming from any place else. All of our money comes out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm. And it's not ours anyway.
No, everything we've received, you know, is a gift from God in some form or another. So we have to learn to be generous in many different ways.
So how did you know it was time to come back to America?
Discerning a move, I think, for anybody is hard. You know, any faith person, I think, hopefully, when they think of leaving a job or leaving a place, it's, God is involved. And part of it was our sons, who were getting ready to enter high school and really deciding, did we want to, you know, have them come back to America to finish up high school before university? And then our parents were kind of now in that sandwich generation with wanting to be close to our parents to help as they're aging and making transitions for themselves. So that was a big part of it. But we prayed about it and thought about it, and it wasn't an easy decision, but I believe it was the right one, and here we are.
So Hastings, what did you know about Hastings before you came here?
Well, I'm from South Minneapolis, so I knew it was on the river.
Did you think you had to pack a lunch to come here? That's what most people do.
No. I grew up in South Minneapolis, but my parents are from out state. And so going to my dad's hometown of Ely, went back when it was 55 on the highways.
Oh, dear.
I mean, that took like 6 hours. And going down to southwestern Minnesota took 2.5 to 3. So whenever I got in a car as a kid, I always expected it to be long. So Hastings, and we traveled through heading down the river to watch the leaves or get apples or go look at Peter Leach pottery or something. But so I don't know. I knew I'd been through, but I don't know if I'd ever stopped, to be frank.
So your boys spent 4 years in Norway.
Yep.
How did they do?
Well, they're both fluent in Norwegian, or at least they were.
Right.
I think they still have it.
Did it open their eyes to a bigger world?
Oh, yeah. I can't speak for them. They're both high schoolers, so I have to be very careful here.
Yes.
But I know that it opened their eyes. They'll decide how much it opened their eyes as they grow and whatnot. But they saw a lot. They experienced a lot. They actually were the most Norwegianized because they went to school in Norwegian.
So did they say, yes, I'd like to get home? How did they factor into your decision?
Well, I think one of them was very excited to come back to America. The other one, not so much. But both have made the transition well. They both played a fair amount of soccer in Norway and came back. And the first thing, we arrived on in Hastings on Labor Day evening, and they started school the next day and went right to the soccer field.
So they're pretty resilient boys.
I would say so, yeah.
It's pretty cool. We do know each other from the soccer field, and I I do know that your boys are good players. Was this move something that you had to get buy-in from everybody or you wouldn't do it? Or was it just like God said, I think you should go to Hastings?
Well, I mean, coming to Hastings, you know, would actually, you'd have to say that's a God thing because, you know, we needed to find churches. And I say we because my wife is also an ordained pastor.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, she's on leave from call right now. She's actually substitute teaching. But we were, you know, trying to find churches coming back. And I had received the papers of our Saviors and interviewed with them first time via, I think it actually was Zoom, the first time I'd ever heard of Zoom, which now we can't get away from. I was sitting in Oslo and they were 7 hours behind me here in Hastings. And actually, I think we had two Zoom conversations and then we were making the move because my wife had received calls to serve a couple small churches in St. Paul. And I think our Saviors were pretty set upon calling me, but you can't know until the ink is dry. So we came back and our third day back in America, we drove here to Hastings for me to have another conversation and for us to see the town. And they voted a couple weeks after that, the congregation, because in the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the congregation is the deciding factor in calling a pastor. The council will give a recommendation and then they vote upon. So I started October 1st, but we moved here 3 weeks before that, just knowing that, you know, 99% it was going to be. And we needed to be somewhere. We had to start the boys in school. So
let's talk about your boys because you mentioned they're both in high school. And before we went on the air, you mentioned how you used to be able to talk about them using their names in sermons. But those days have ended.
Those days have ended. A few years ago, we're told, you know, with no ifs, ands, or buts, that we don't mention them in sermons unless we have their permission.
So
we have occasionally, either my wife or I, gone to them and said, we'd like to mention you in the sermon, and this is what we're going to say. And most of the time they'll say yes. Occasionally they're like, no. So you'll notice I haven't used their names yet.
No, you haven't. They're nameless, nameless children. Even the nameless piece they don't like.
Well, they've lived their whole life as double pastor's kids.
Okay, let's talk about that. What the heck? That's tough.
Yeah, and you know,
do you acknowledge that stress?
Yeah. In fact, my wife and I talked about it before we ever had kids that, you know, how are we going to do this? Because we know that great emphasis is put upon the children of pastors to be, I don't know, little angels or something.
By the world.
By the world.
Yes.
Yeah, not by us.
Not by you.
No.
Okay. And not by God.
No. Oh, no.
No.
I mean, if you look at the Bible, God uses all the people God uses in the Bible than Jesus are. Yeah, I just did
kooks,
a Bible study on
kooks and naughty
on Joseph, and you look at Joseph's dad Jacob, and he was a scoundrel. I wouldn't have wanted to meet him in a dark alley. So I don't expect my kids to be perfect, and I always remind them, you know that your mom and dad aren't perfect, but don't be telling too many people.
Oh, goodness. But that is a lot of stressor to be put on kids. I grew up with pastor's kids, and I think you can go two different ways. Some people go one way, some people go the other. And I think your boys are both headed in the positive direction.
Oh, I'm proud of them. I think
you should
be.
I mean, they're very resilient to have gone through as much change as they have.
Yeah, they have.
And embraced it. And
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I think they're great boys, and, you know, they're going to find their own way with God's leading, and, you know, we try to give some suggestions, but they're now high schoolers, so some of those suggestions are heard, and others are, you know, no thank you. as all of us know, all of us who have parented teenagers, at some point they might realize that we know something, but that might be 10 years down the line. But, they're resilient guys, and they will be who they will be. We aren't putting pressure on – we're trying to not put pressure on them to, you know, follow in our path or, you know, they have their strengths and their gifts, and God will lead them.
Absolutely. Is that how it works? You can't decide now that you would like to be a pastor at a kid's age.
Yes and no. I think it depends all upon the person. I think some people receive calls very early in life, and not just to be a pastor, but I think God calls us into whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I have an older brother who I know from the moment he ever heard about forest firefighters and smoke jumpers, he wanted to be one, and that's what he did for his whole career. And I really feel God called him into that. You know, God doesn't just call people into the church, but into many different paths in life. And so I think it's listening to what are your gifts, what are your passions, where is God? God will lead you through those things into, you know, being a lawyer, being an electrician, being a radio host.
Well, I think sometimes we think that the call from God is going to be so profound, we'll know for sure that we heard that. But sometimes it's a whisper.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think of, you look in the Bible, Samuel, the young boy sleeping in the temple right next to the ark. He didn't understand that it was God calling him until three times he'd woken up Eli and said, you know, what is it? What do I need to do? And finally, Eli woke up and said, no, this isn't me. This is God. Listen. And of course, that's, you know, the story you bring out. But yeah, it can be very subtle, very quiet. And we just need to listen. And we can have different calls in life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Pastor Joel, so fun to get to know you and get to see you again. Pastor Joel Rova Hegener, he is the associate pastor at Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings, celebrating 150 years in Hastings. Such an accomplishment. How can people learn more about your church, or how can they worship with you?
Well, we invite you to visit our website at any time, www.osel.org. Come walking through our doors, give us a call. We have worship services 5:30 on Saturday, 8 o'clock, 9:15, and 10:30 on Sunday morning, and then a 7 o'clock, about a 20-minute worship on Wednesdays, preceded by a meal, which any and everybody's invited to, that we start serving at 5:30.
And you're located where?
Right between 8th and 9th Street. Well, let's put it this way, right above the tennis courts next to Todd
Field. On Roadside Park, yes. Yeah. We like it. You are listening to another edition of Community in Depth as we continue our rotation with members of the Hastings Ministerial Association. And we want to thank Pastor Joel Rova Hegener of Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
My Jesus.